speak on the topic which I've called Making Heaven Rejoice. Making Heaven Rejoice. How will heaven rejoice? What will make heaven to rejoice? The key is in your hand and in my hand. If you want jubilation to take place in heaven right now, the power is within us to do that. Amen? Amen. Is it through praises? Is it through singing? Through dancing? We're going to find out through this talk this morning. The Lord bless His word to our hearts in Jesus' name. We want to start with a passage of scripture, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, let's start from verse 4. There are parables there, stories that Jesus told to tell us about the kingdom of God. He used a lot of parables to teach us. We're going to learn some of these parables today and the impact of these parables. Luke chapter 15 from verse 4. There it says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it?" Verse 5. "And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Verse 7. "I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." This was one of the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling us about kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Somebody has got 100 sheep. One of them got lost. Meaning that you have 99 left, is it not so? Yes. You won't say, after one is lost, I still have 99, it doesn't really matter. Is that the attitude? No. If you were the one, you have 100 sheep, one of them got lost, would you not rather go searching for the lost one? That's the parable that Jesus gave us, using that to illustrate how God in heaven is so much interested in those who are lost. He has got children quite alright, but he's very much concerned about those who are lost. Sometimes we are tempted to think that God thinks only about us because we are his own children. He doesn't think about those who are perishing. Well, this scripture tells us that God is very much concerned about those who are lost. Amen? So let us learn from it. If we must have the mind of Christ, we have to reason like Him, have to have the same attitude like He had. Verse 8 yet tells us another parable, still about the kingdom of God. "And what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repented." Amen. You can see a second time Jesus Christ has told us that God is so happy when a sinner becomes a saint. How does that happen? We're going to talk about that. There's only one way that can happen. It's through the preaching of the good news. Amen. Making heaven rejoice. You can do it. It's within your power. The ability, the knowledge, the anointing is already there. Right now, you don't need to go to any place. The anointing is already there for you to make heaven rejoice. May God and the angels rejoice as a sinner gets, comes back home. He didn't end there. Just to emphasize the point further, he said in verse 11 that a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I don't want to read everything there, but you know the story, the prodigal child. Well, the lesson there, that look, after this man squandered his resources, he was now lacking. He didn't have money anymore. He had wasted his money on righteous living, on pleasures. So he came to zero level financially. He couldn't help himself. Those who he had helped, none of them could help him again. So there are so many friends that we have in time of prosperity, but in time of adversity, there are no more to be found. This Bible tells us that. So all his friends, no one could come and say, you are like this now? No, let me help you. No, no one. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. So he came to that level, and he didn't even have a good job too. But he got a job somewhere, and there he was to feed pigs. Swine to feed pigs. He said, it's better than nothing. Let me do this job. And he was doing it. But he was hungry all the same. He didn't have all his needs met. He couldn't eat what he wanted to eat. So he was forced by circumstances to eat the king's food and the pig's food. The food that he fed to the pigs, out of it he was eating. It was such a terrible state. But thank God, one day this young man came to himself. Amen. Amen. That's the beautiful aspect of it. He came to himself. There are some people who were once hot and zealous for the Lord. They once knew the Lord. Circumstances of life have made them, to change, and they have backslidden. If you can get such people restored to, Heavenly Father will be very happy. Just like the father was happy when this young man returned home eventually. When he came to himself, say, my father is so rich, has many servants, and I'm suffering here. Why must I remain here? Why can't I change? So he decided to take that move, and he went back to the father with a determination that, look, he would tell the father that, look, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I've squandered the resources you give to me. But the father, on the other hand, welcomed him wholeheartedly with his brothers. They welcomed him, the trip party for him. One would least expect that, but he was very, very happy. And that's to tell you how God is so happy when a sinner or somebody who are backslidden returns home. God can use you to restore backsliders. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He can use you to fish out for men. After all, when he called the people, initially the apostles and disciples, he said, follow me. If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Do you want to become fishers of men?
Yeah.
God wants us to be fishers of men. Not to fish for physical fish alone, but just men. He wants us to hunt for men in the positive. to give them life through the preaching of the gospel. That's God's mind. That's God's plan and purpose for us. Amen. The scribes and the Pharisees were not happy with Jesus when he came for many reasons. Apart from saying that, oh, say you are the Son of God and that, by that you are making yourself God. There was one thing that Jesus did. Jesus mixed with the people. Jesus identified with those who were regarded as sinners, the publicans, the prostitutes, so to say. They found Jesus mingling with them, talking with them, and they were very surprised. I thought you said you are a holy man. I thought you said you are the Son of God. And then, you can't even decide that these are sinners. You know what Jesus told them? He said, you have not even seen anything yet. I'm not only going to dine and eat with them and talk things of eternal life with them. I'm even going out to look for them. To go hunting. And people, have they heard? Have they heard? Have they heard? He went from place to place. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, let's read what the Bible says there. Jesus Christ did not sit in one place, and then he expected sinners to come to him. Let's check it out. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save them which was lost. That's the reason Jesus came. If they ask you now, why did Jesus Christ come into this world? If Jesus Christ came to save us. You are very correct. But in saving us, he did not stay in Jerusalem or just in one place. He went from city to city. He went from village to village, preaching the good news that people may believe. Amen. Amen. For without the preaching of the gospel, there's no way people will believe. That is why necessity is laid on us to preach the good news, good tidings. We have good tidings. We have what would make people glad. We don't have bad news, but good news. That irrespective of your background, irrespective of who you have been, there is hope for you. You can become a child of God today, if only you repent. No wonder the Lord called sinners to a conference table in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. He said, come now, let us reason together, say the Lord. Even though your sins be as scarlet, be like crimson, shall be made white like wool, like snow. Amen. Amen. That's God's attitude. He doesn't give up easily on people. Amen. But we have the mind of giving up some people. Maybe after we talk to them about Jesus and they're not listening. No, we give up. God is very patient and he's long-suffering towards sinners that they might repent. Perhaps that's the reason why he hasn't come yet. He wants to give opportunity to people who are yet in sin to repent. Doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Maybe some of us, we do wish like that. That man is too bad, he should die and go to hell. That woman is too bad, should die and go to hell. But that's very different from God's mind. God is still giving opportunity for people to repent, no matter how bad they are today. Statistics have shown that 95% of Christians have never won a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Statistics. You can Google it and you find out. Evangelism statistics. Think about that. 95% of Christians have never won a soul to the Lord. Who say, wow, is that real? Maybe in GMI it's not so. But that's general statistics anyway. And I pray it shouldn't be so, because that would be a woeful picture. It doesn't show that we love God so much. If 95% of us have never won a soul to the Lord. When a sister gives birth to a baby here, physically we are happy. We're very, very happy. We rejoice that a new child has been added to the family. Amen? Spiritually. I think there should be more joy when somebody is born to the Lord and comes back to the Lord And we need to testify of such things when God does that in our lives as well. Amen. He causes heaven to rejoice when sinners repent. He causes heaven to rejoice when we preach the good tidings. It is the good tidings that can bring salvation to those who are lost. Amen. Not anything else. Not sharing family stories, your life stories or something like that. No. It has to be the gospel. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Amen. So there is power. When you preach the gospel, power is released to save. You are not the one saving anybody, but Christ himself. He saves people through the word that they have heard. That's Romans 1 verse 16. Amen. So we need to change this picture. I don't know the picture. I don't know the statistics as to those who are fruitful in the Lord and they are winning souls. Jesus Christ said that we should win souls. He said we should bring forth fruit and that our fruit may abide. That fruit bearing has to do with bringing forth somebody into Christ. Somebody in darkness, out of darkness into the kingdom of God. Principally, that's what it means. Don't we know about fruit bearing? Fruit bearing, having the fruit of the Spirit, like we just heard in the morning through Sunday school, but the fruit of the Spirit. But that's not about it all. In John chapter 15, we are told that we should bring forth fruit and that our fruit should abide. Go and bring forth your own kind. You know, some of us who are middlemen, who are middle-aged here, you got your children and they are growing up, maybe they are teenagers now. I'm telling you that they are looking forward to a time when they become grandfathers and grandmothers. They're so happy when, after they are giving birth to you, you are able to bring forth another child. It gives them great joy. I thank God I'm one of them. I'm so happy. Amen? It gives great joy to people. Even you, yes. The same thing. That God, after God has saved you, maybe through the preaching of some man, through giving out a tract, or you were in a congregation like this and you give your life to Christ. You know, you expect that through you, some other person will give his or her life to Christ. That's what God expects of you. Amen. May his expectation not be cut short in our lives in Jesus' name. Yes. Let us give God the light. Let's make heaven to rejoice. Before I proceed, let me sing this song that was taught by T.L. Osborne in 1974 when he came to Nigeria. Very short song. Say, if you will preach it, if you will teach it, if you will tell it all the way, there are some people ready to hear you. You will be rewarded someday. If you will preach it, if you will teach it, if you will tell it all the way, there are some people ready to hear you. You will be rewarded someday. Amen. He told us that, look, don't be discouraged, because sometimes we are discouraged when we have told somebody about Christ and the person refuses to give his or her life to Christ. Maybe try several times like that. He said, don't be discouraged. Because unknown to you, there are some people who are triggered, ready, happy to receive the good news. Some who are saturated with the gospel. They rejected the gospel. Don't want to give place to God in their hearts. But there are people so hungry, even as we are here now. So hungry. Oh God. Oh, that they send somebody to me to tell me about eternal life. Some have heard about Jesus through the television, through satellite television, or through one medium or the other. But they want to really serve God. Oh Lord, that you will send somebody. You could be the one that God will send to me. Amen. If you preach it, you teach it, there are some people ready to hear you. Don't mind those who are full of themselves and they don't want eternal life. But even then, don't give up easily on such people, because tomorrow is another day. Until Jesus comes, there's opportunity for people to receive the gospel. Amen. So we're talking indirectly about evangelism. But we are not talking about all types of evangelism. Evangelism, what does it mean? Evangelism is the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching and personal witness. It's evangelism. There is mass evangelism and there is personal evangelism. Mass evangelism has to do with ministration of the word through television and all. It's effective. But compared to personal evangelism, it's not as effective. You'll be surprised. But millions and masses, they come to the Lord. Well, statistically also, it has been found that personal evangelism, one-on-one, is more effective or most effective of all the various ways of preaching the good news. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God we can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had money to go to television. You don't have to wish that. It has been proven scientifically, statistically, that one-on-one evangelism is the most effective way of winning souls to Christ. And we don't have any excuse. Okay, you may say, oh, well, how can I, you know, if you go on television, you can reach millions of people at home. Yes, possibly billions. But do you know that you have your own world, your sphere of influence that you are expected to reach with the gospel on a daily basis? Who are these people? Your barbers, your hairstylist, your tailor, your physician, colleagues, your customers. Amen?
Amen?
Even your bosses. People you come across every day, on day-to-day basis, you meet them. Whether you like it or not, you just must meet them. Of course, starting from Jerusalem, your home, your relation, your father, your mother, If you can reach your word for Christ, God will be happy and give you a good reward at the end. Amen? Don't say, oh, I wish I can reach millions. I wish I can win millions. You just want one soul. Since January, for example, have you won a soul? This is now February. These are the challenge we're talking about. One-on-one evangelism. The apostle practiced that in Acts chapter 20, verse 20. We are told that the 2020 vision, because they went from house to house. If you are here, you are surprised where some of us do go and knock from door to door. To you is surprising and strange. It shouldn't be surprising. Go and read Acts chapter 20, verse 20. That's what the apostles did. Let's read it together. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. And we need to apply it from today. We have not been doing that. The Lord will bless you for it in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. And this is what Apostle Paul said. And how he testified about what, how he reached out with the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles, and also people that came across this way. Verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. You can do it publicly, and you can do it from house to house. One on one. Amen.
Amen.
Try it out and you'll be joyful that you did, in Jesus' name. So, why do we even have to evangelize? Why, of necessity, since you are saved now, I'm saved, I'm possibly Holy Ghost filled, what else do I need? Why must I labor to go and win souls? Why? Let me give you some of the reasons from the Bible. Number one, it is a command that we should do so. Acts chapter 28, 19 to 20. You can read it for yourself. That's the Great Commission. The Great Commission to many people has become the Great Omission, because they don't bother about that at all. They omit it. And I think the Great Commission is a command to every Christian, every saved Christian. That commission applies to us. We also go to find out from the Bible. That is not only to the apostles or to the pastors and prophets as many think, but to everyone. So Jesus commands it. And if we love him, what do? We keep his commandment. If you love me, keep my commandments. And when the Lord talks about the commandments, he's not talking about the 10 commandments. This is one of the thousands of commandments. In New Testament alone, you have 1,050 commands to obey. Christians, they are not burdensome. If you love Jesus, he gives you the grace. The Holy Spirit dwelling with you and you are being led by the Spirit of God. Find yourself obeying the word of God. Amen. Including this great commission. So of necessity, we need to preach the good news because Jesus told us to do that. Matthew 28:19-20. Number one. That's number one. Number two, Jesus himself showed us the example by going from place to place, from village to village, from city to city to preach the good news. And we should do likewise. We can't do otherwise. The apostle did exactly the same thing. Following the footsteps of Jesus, they went about preaching the good news. Once upon a time, they were in one place, living comfortably like many of us are doing now. Very comfortably. They had lacked nothing, just like the Laodicean age. Lack nothing, don't lack food, don't lack money. Everything they need is there. But when persecution set in, something, it took a different turn. They scattered this way and that way. And what were they doing? Did they keep quiet? No. They went about preaching the good news. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Let's read it. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. As a result of dispersal of the brethren through persecution, this happened. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad because of persecution went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. One would expect them to keep quiet, say, there's persecution in that place, that's why we run. Here, let us keep quiet. They did keep quiet. They saw as a golden opportunity to spread the good news, good tidings. If you love people, you want to tell them about the way out of sin. Jesus is the way out of sin. And we can tell them through the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Also in Acts chapter 11, 19 to 23. Read something similar there. Acts chapter 11, 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. This was not only the persecution. There was a general persecution against the apostles. Stop preaching about this man Jesus. We hated him so much, we killed him. And here you are out there again to talk about him. We don't want to hear anything about him. He kept them, he wanted them to keep their mouth sealed, but they did not do so. Similarly, as a result of Stephen being stoned to death, Christians ran for their dear lives. They ran this way and that way. Some to the north, some to the south, some to the west, some to the east. And God used that dispersal to reach the whole world at that time. So there is something good out of persecution after all. Amen. Yes. This is what God did. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but only to the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. For those who believe that preaching the good news, witnessing, is the responsibility of pastors and preachers, evangelists, missionaries, you got it wrong. You need to read these scriptures I've given you, Acts chapter 8, verse 4, and this Acts chapter 11, from 19. These were ordinary people like you and me that, as a result of persecution, they traveled this way and that way, and they did not keep their mouth shut. They went preaching the good news, and many, many more people were saved. That was the way the gospel reached to the whole world at that time. They didn't have satellite television, but that was the method. One-on-one evangelism. If the common disciples, ordinary brothers and sisters, could do that at that time, what about us at this time, upon whom the ends of the age are come? The Lord is coming soon, and many people are still dying and going to hell. We need to have compassion on them like Jesus had compassion. If you want to really preach the gospel effectively, you must have compassion. You wouldn't say, because they say we must win so, that is why, otherwise it's not in me. It must come from you. You must have that love of God, you know, and have compassion on the perishing. Assuming you are in a neighborhood, and possibly the house by you, fire has burst out, there's smoke coming out from the corner, and people are in the house. If you are a good citizen, if you are a normal human being, even if you are not kind-hearted, you show concern, won't you? The least you can do is to call 911. There's fire here, and people are inside. But you can do much more than that. I said, since I'm not spreading well, let me go and remind them. Let me possibly break through the door. Your own little effort before firemen come. You can do that. But if you don't do that, what concerns you? My house is very safe, no problem. There's no problem in my house. If you don't do that, it's not just that you are negligent. In fact, if it's found out that you did nothing, you could even be regarded as a criminal. God regards us, you know, as his own eye, his own ambassadors. We are supposed to give warning to people around us that, look, danger is ahead. Except you repent now, you die and go to hell. You can't predict tomorrow. Many people get accident and they are gone. The least you can do is to warn them. We are not the one to rescue, God himself. Just warn them. Just call 911 for help. And just tell them about Jesus. Have you given your life to Christ? Seek some way to communicate Jesus to them. Confess Jesus to them as Lord and Savior. It's good news. You are not there to condemn them. When we go out witnessing, don't go and condemn people. Don't go and condemn sinners because you saw them drinking beer and you feel that, oh, this is wrong. To you it's wrong, but to them it's good. Preach the good news. Amen. Yes. Preach Jesus to them. Yes. When they know Jesus, all that thing will be taken care of. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All that thing shall be added. Don't emphasize sin to them. Oh, you are this. You are going to hell. You are going to hell. Tell them more about heaven when you preach the good news. Though they need to hear that there is also the other side. If they reject Jesus, if they accept Christ, they can be saved. If they reject Christ, automatically they are condemned. No, you are not the one condemning them. But because they have had a chance to preach the good news, it's left for them to receive. If they don't receive, it's no longer your fault. But then you must keep on praying for them that one day they will surrender. Amen. Another thing, we are debtors to every sinner. It's one debt that we owe. We must preach the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. We cause heaven to rejoice when a sinner is saved. So we must make heaven to rejoice continually. Amen? Because sinners are dying and go to hell, we have a responsibility to warn them and to lead them to Christ. Because also we are the light of the world, we need to show the light of God. We don't need to keep our light under the bushel, under the table. The light must shine. Amen? Sinners' blood might be required in our hands if we don't warn them. Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 to 21. You can read it on your own. Every born-again Christian needs to evangelize. Don't say, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist. Please, if you are an apostle, do the work of an evangelist. If you are a prophet, do the work of an evangelist. By that it means, tell about Jesus. When the Lord promised the Holy Ghost baptism, that Holy Ghost baptism was not only to the apostles alone, was it? If you read it well, time will not permit us to read it in Acts chapter 1. We find that 120 of them, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, they were there waiting for the promise of the Father. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord told us, they shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and then shall be my witnesses, Lord Judea. Amen? Start from Jerusalem, Lord Judea, then to the uttermost part of the earth. For everybody, and like we read earlier, Christians who were running for their dear life because of persecution, they spread the good news. So, the good news is for us to preach. It's not for us to hold. We are not to hold the gospel. We are to interact with sinners, not to copy their ways, but with the purpose of winning souls. Wherever Jesus interacted with sinners, the result was that the sinners got converted. So don't say, oh, perfect sinner, we should make friends with sinners. Please, your intimate friends should be Christian. But we need to relate to unbelievers as well. So we are not to, you know, exclude ourselves from them. We don't relate to them. How did they preach the gospel to them? There must be a relationship before you can preach the gospel to someone. There must be kind of love and concern and compassion. So we must do that. Amen. We must have the soul, The soul winner's heart is a heart of compassion. Not easily, not ready to give up at the least resistance. I prayed the gospel to her some time ago, and she didn't reject, she rejected the gospel. Therefore, I won't talk to her again. Then you are annoying. But you'll be surprised that someday somebody will come to a very quick harvest, talking to that same person, and that person will give his life to Christ. Don't easily give up. God himself does not easily give up on sinners. Once upon a time you were sinners, God found you out. So likewise, go and preach to others. Amen. Amen. What are the common methods we should apply apart from reaching out one-on-one? We can use tracts. Tracts are readily available in this church. They are like cards. If you don't have them as a pastor, you have cards. For so winning. In those days, well, because sometimes we talk about the 70s, the revival in the 70s. People don't know why we always say that. For the time of massive evangelism, and we all went out, preached the gospel, you see stickers, Jesus says, and all that. We want to know, we want to tell people about Jesus. We wanted to do that at that time. The same test and hunger should return right now in Jesus' name. Let's use tracts. Your pockets, your bags, your big bags, especially ladies. What is inside those bags? There must and there ought to be trust. I'm telling you frankly, if I'm sincere with you, there ought to be trust. That even if you cannot talk to your boss, cannot talk to anybody, you can say, please, can you go through this? Say, what's this? Oh, it's just telling you about the love of God. Jesus loves you. With that alone, people can be saved. There are some men of God who have been saved because they gave them trust, and they rubbed the trash, put them into the trash can. But some inquisitive people have looked at those squeeze papers and got converted through those trash. So it's very effective, very important. Literature ministry is very, very important. Inviting friends and neighbors to church. You have neighbors. If you don't relate to them, how can you invite them someday to the church? Please, let's learn to be friendly with people. Hope who are our hearts to them, and then we can also do that through prison visitations, hospital visitations. All these are various ways we can reach out to people so that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say, oh, I can't talk so much like Moses, why don't you excuse? I can't talk, God. You know me. Don't worry. Just be willing and available. I make somebody speak for you. I make a trust speak for you. If only you are willing to give it up, pray for you. You can win souls to that. Amen. And let me tell you, maybe you have been winning souls and they don't come to this very congregation.
And so you are discouraged.
Please don't be discouraged, because when Jesus Christ said we should go and win souls, it didn't mean that all must come to one particular congregation. Win souls, but endeavor to follow them out through phone calls and all that. Amen. I'd be glad you did in Jesus' name. That is, there were young people. There were young people who were preaching the good news, inviting people to crusade. Now, these young people, 8, 10, 11 years old, not even teenagers, agbalagba, no? So these ones, they were going spreading the good news and the handbills, telling them, please come to the crusade. Coincidentally, they met a native doctor. This native doctor was surprised in the first place. Why should you come to and talk to me about Jesus? This happened in Nigeria. Never did the children were bold like lions. I said, but Jesus loves you, sir. And please, can you come to that crusade? How dare you? The man was still wondering, how dare you? You don't know who I am? At the end of the story is that these young ones, they said, Baba, is there nothing that you desire that you are not be able to do for yourself? You know, I know you are powerful, you can do many things, but there's no exception. That look, this one thing I have desired, I wanted to do, but I'll not be able to do it by myself. Is there anything like that? The man said, yes, 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 yes. Yes, my children. Look, that my wife now is bleeding to death. A point of taking delivery, but these are, they have all died. I married 16 wives in the time past and they have all died. Time of birth. And this one is going to. Okay, can we pray? Yes, you can pray, my children. And they pray simple prayer. And that woman received a miracle instantly. Amen. Amen. As a result of that, the man attended the crusade and gave his life to Christ. Amen. Amen. This was a very notorious native doctor. Amen. Your gift will make a way for you. There was a young girl too who couldn't pay, you know, money to enroll for an examination. But she gathered some money. It wasn't enough. She started to give it up for the work of God. She was not discouraged. She still went on hospital visitation as usual. So one day, she prayed for a young girl like her, younger to younger. And the lady received instant miracle. I happened, the father was a very rich man, very, very rich. I don't know what he could still be alive now. He was very rich. And after the little girl had gone, the father came. Hey, but you are looking good. How? What happened? Say, a small girl came and preached the gospel and prayed for me, and now I'm home. Amen. Is that so? Where's the little girl? Where's the little girl? They called for her, found out that she was very, very poor, from a poor parentage. And then the man offered to give her, you know, and the family visa to America. Amen. That came because that little girl was not despondent. Despite her condition, she preached the gospel. We don't need to be very, very happy before we preach the gospel. In all situations, whether it looks good or bad, let us preach the good news. Because it's our Father's delight. Amen. Before we round up, there is this one somebody sent to me. Saved to Serve is the title. Sir Wilfred T. Griffith said, it is obvious that man is himself a traveler. That is his purpose in this world, is not to have and to hold, but to give and to serve. There can be no other meaning. It is easy to live only for yourself. In fact, it is one of the most basic instincts that we have to overcome each day. But we can take another path to be generous with our love and our time. When you give those gifts, you are as generous as you can be. My sister sent this to me through WhatsApp. Praise the Lord. Let us not live for ourselves or just for ourselves. Let us be people centered. Let us be mindful of the people that God has sent us to preach the good news. Amen. When we do this, the joy that will flow in our heart is enough reward, even for winning souls. Amen. And not only that, we will be joyful and fulfilled. Heaven will rejoice. So let us determine from today, brothers and sisters, to have a change of heart, to have the mind of Christ, to win souls. Because Jesus Christ's ministry summed up is he came to seek and to save sinners. He did not sit in one comfortable place. He went from place to place looking for them. He also said that sinners are outside the sanctuary. Don't expect them to come to the church. You go out and meet them where they are in the marketplace. May the Lord help every one of us to have a change of attitude in the name of Jesus. Amen. Remember, the power of the Holy Spirit is to be witnesses for Him. It's not for status symbol. Say, oh, I too, I can speak in tongues. That's not it. That shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and they shall be my witnesses. Young boys, young girls, be witnesses for Christ. If you are a medical doctor, reach out to fellow medical doctors. If you are a farmer, reach out to fellow farmer. If you are a teacher, reach out to fellow teacher. If you are a lecturer, reach out to fellow lecturer. If you are a student, reach out to fellow student. That's how it's done. That's your world. That's your sphere of influence. Reach out with the government to the world, and the Lord will bless you for it in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, he that winneth soul is wise. And then they that win soul, they shall shine as stars in the firmament. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we adore you, we glorify your name. Lord, I have spoken that which you have laid in my heart to share with my brothers and sisters. I ask you, Lord, for the grace, the willingness to take the bull by the horn. And henceforth, O Lord, be so winners, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not just only live for ourselves, O Lord, like the Laodiceans. Lord, but Lord, we'll reach out with the good news. We are a candlestick giving light to the nations. Help us, O Lord, not to fail you in this awesome responsibility. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Lift your hands together for the Lord Jesus.